Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kelly Leonard is in our studios. Kelly is the host of that podcast called Getting BS'd and a regular guest here at WGN. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good.
So happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
You're having Thanksgiving turkey, are you?
Just me and my wife.
Yeah. And what comes with that? Just you and your wife and some turkey, some stuffing?
Stuffing. I asked for mashed potatoes. She wasn't going to make it. I wanted that. But we're going to spread the tradition out over a few days. So like the traditional dip that she makes, we'll do the next day. And so we're sort of kind of making it a few-day celebration.
I mentioned the other day that I really like Waldorf salad. I came home. There was a bunch of apples in the kitchen. I said, what? She goes, Waldorf salad. I went, oh. My wife listens, of course.
Yeah.
Well, not of course. Maybe the wives don't, but Brenda does. And so we're going to have Waldorf salad. We're going to have turkey. We're going to have stuffing. Brenda's she made this last night. She got some potatoes, mashed them up, then put some sour cream in there, some chives and stuff, and then we're going to bake that.
Mm.
And that is really good.
Yep.
Where was I? Okay, so let's talk about Second City.
Yeah.
You are, what's your title over there at Second City?
Well, I've got a really long, complicated title. I'm the Executive Director of Learning and Applied Improvisation. You can just say I'm a longtime creative executive.
At Second City.
Yeah.
How's business been for you guys since the clubs have closed down?
Well, obviously the live stuff isn't going anywhere, but I was just informed that we had the best sales in December of any December ever.
Including live?
This is virtual. This is all virtual workshops and shows. Like, everyone wants a holiday party on like 3 dates in December. We're literally doing like 8 gigs in one day.
So the company will say, hey, everybody, we can't get together, but go to this site and we're going to do a thing there?
With Second City, yeah.
But then do their executives come and do it with you, or do you just do a show for them?
Well, every one of them is different. Sometimes we get the executives to come up and join us and play games in the sort of Zoom improv stage, and other times we're actually creating some content that we'll shoot on an iPhone and include that. So it's all kinds of stuff.
And businesses hire Second City for this.
Yeah.
Pardon me for marveling at that. I don't know what the business community is like, but I'm glad that there's a market and you guys have been the leader in this, but that they'll embrace it virtually as well.
Well, the cool thing about this too is when we get back in, and I was just on a call with this. We all agree that people are going to crave live entertainment when they have an opportunity to come back. So great, we can do that. We also have a digital business now that doesn't need to stop. And so you have people taking classes from like Ecuador and New Zealand and Russia, and I'm not exaggerating, they are from all over the
world.
Classes
from you?
Yeah, and so we actually do class times, sometimes 9 or 10 at night, sometimes in the morning, to accommodate the different time zones.
And the class is about how to communicate with your employees in a humorous way.
And they sometimes are just improv, fun improv drop-ins. We've been doing that for people, because everyone's, you know, look, human beings crave connection, and we're really deprived of that right now.
So Earth knows the address to go for that is Second City.
SecondCity.com.
So you were telling producer Elif off the air a story about how Second City, the city of Chicago, got that moniker.
Well, it's how Second City then took that, the company, the theatrical company.
You guys stole that.
Yeah. So there's a guy named A.J. Liebling, actually a very famous journalist, and he leased an apartment with his second wife and her daughter on the near north side of Chicago in 1951. He had this sort of shady side deal with Colonel McCormick, who ran...
Shocked, I say, shocked.
I know, we're all shocked. Where this was going to be a book, and it was going to sort of celebrate Chicago. He didn't have a good time here. Here's some things about what he thought of with Chicago.
This is Liebling talking about our city.
This is Liebling, yeah. He found his neighbors too friendly and not friendly enough. He hated the clothes that women in Chicago wore. He hated how the water tasted. He could not stand the Cubs or the White Sox. He wrote that Chicagoans did not make their beds or wash their dishes.
What year is this, by the way?
This is 1951 is when he lived here. 1952 is when the series 3 articles were published in the New Yorker.
How can you generalize that about a city, that the people don't make their beds or wash their dishes?
Uh, he he had a bad time.
He was unhappy.
He was very unhappy.
Keep going.
I want to read a segment from one of these articles. Scene from the taxi on the long ride in from the airport. The place looked slower, shabbier, and in defiance of all chronology, older than New York. There was an outer London dinginess to the streets. The low buildings, the industrial plants, and the railroad crossings at grade produced less the feeling of being in a great city than of riding through the endless succession of factory town main streets. The transition to the Loop and its tall buildings was abrupt, like entering a walled city. I found it beguilingly medieval.
I take his point, but we had a beautiful skyline then. The river wasn't cleaned up, but I mean, wow.
Yeah, he really... So do you want to know what he said about the Tribune Tower? Our old...
The building that was the winner of an international design contest, yeah.
Yeah, he called it wedding cake Gothic. Lacking only the crowning touch of a gigantic double scoop of ice cream topped by an illuminated cherry. I mean, this is...
Okay, that's all I need to know. So forget the did they don't make their beds. If you say that about the Tribune Tower, then you have a bias I can't fix.
No, and he didn't talk about music, and he didn't talk about all the great writers.
Jazz,
all that. And so... When Second City was forming and we opened in 1959 and we were looking for a name, the title of the articles got turned into a book, not with McCormick, because obviously he was not happy with the writing that he saw. So he did this sort of as a side deal.
Wait a minute, but hold on. So yeah. Then all of these descriptors you're telling me about in this guy, he was going to write a book about Chicago?
Yeah, well, he did. So he wrote three articles for The New Yorker, turned it into a book called Chicago, the Second City.
Chicago sucks, in other words.
Yeah, that we're not a first city, that we're a second city.
And so is that where Chicago, the Second City, was sort of born?
Yeah.
So as in second class, not second most popular.
No, it's an insult. But this is what I love about this story, because Second City, the club, took it on. We took on the moniker of the insult. And this is what I consider to be the Chicago aesthetic. There's that great Nelson Algren quote about Chicago. Yet once you've come to be a part of this particular patch, you'll never love another. Like loving a woman with a broken nose, you may well find lovelier lovelies, but never a lovely so real. Which then became the title of the recent documentary that Steve James did, City So Real. This is a Chicago thing. We love our faults. We love our crappy politicians. Our sports teams have been way more terrible than they've been good. And we kind of love that, right?
Well, we embrace them. I don't think we deserve that, but that's no. That's our identity. You're right.
Yeah. And it's an improv thing. So in improv, we say make mistakes work for you. And you can also see it, you can see it in some of a lot of the famous alums. Like Bill Murray would be the quintessential Chicago guy.
Yes.
He is not in the mainstream. He is on the fringes. He's maybe a little drunk. I mean, this is and a lot of Chris
but he's
Farley.
Also smart.
Yes.
You know what?
Oh,
I think that whole vibe of Chicago does not mean that you don't get it. You
no.
do.
Yeah.
And that's the insult. I'm glad you guys are turning it on them. It's like, we may be Second City, but that doesn't make us fools.
Right. No, it's a kind of it's a hometown smartness. I think Bob Newhart represents that too, who's a famous Chicago comedian. And so I just find it really interesting when you think about both the history of Chicago and even what it's like today. We've kept this aesthetic and we embrace it as a city, and it's almost like our own defense mechanism. And it is kind of what makes us, I think, very cool.
Hmm. It's like loving a woman with a broken nose. I just love that, Kelly.
I know.
Yeah. Kelly Leonard, is this part of your Getting to Yes And podcast? Are you talking about this on your stream?
I'm not. This is, you know, when I'm looking to come in every, you know, I talk to Elif every month and we look for some sort of Chicago connection. Sometimes it's through the podcast. This one was actually through a book that I was a part of, which celebrated the best books in Chicago. And I wrote a segment on Bernie Sollins, the founder of Second City, and his book. And I noticed when I was looking through it, the Liebling story came up, and I'm like, oh, I haven't told that to John.
What's the name of that book?
I forget.
You ought to know the answer.
100 Stories. I think it's called 100 Stories.
I think I've seen that before. And remember, this conversation will be posted on our page as a podcast. If you want to tell this story again or play it for your friends, just go to WGNradio.com.